Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Sound Synchronicity on Now Time Radio.
All aboard!
From the East, House of Light, may wisdom dawn in us, so we may see all things in clarity. From the North, House of Night, may wisdom ripen in us, so we may see all from within. From the West, House of Transformation, may wisdom be transformed into right action, so we may do what must be done. house of the eternal sun. May right action reap the harvest, so we may enjoy the fruits of planetary being. Above, house of heaven, where star people and ancestors gather, may their blessings come to us now. Below, house of earth, may the heartbeat of her crystal core bless us with harmonies to end all war. From the center, galactic source, which is everywhere at once, may everything be known as the light of mutual love. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Maho. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Maho. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Ma ho.
Listeners from all around the planet, greetings and welcome to Sound Synchronicity. My name is Makua Ray, honored to be your navigator for the vibration this evening. As we have crossed this quite auspicious threshold into 2012, welcome to all listeners. Indeed, we have made it. We've certainly made it this far, and it's truly a blessing to be here now. So we give thanks to everybody tuning in. We want to certainly take a moment, acknowledge the opening credits. We've had a song from our good sister Raquel entitled Mothership, featuring Ima Deborah and her brother Bless. That was followed up, as we always do, with the prayer of the Seven Galactic Directions delivered by Jose Arguelles, Valum Votan. What a blessing that is. Again, setting the frequency and the tone for the moments and the momentum to come. Currently, we are looking at an amazing opportunity before us, a field of creative potential. and we want to focus on tonight's show and what we want to plant in that field of potential. What are our thought seeds? What are our intentions for ourselves and for all others at this very auspicious time? We know that 2012 has great significance to many people because of its association with the end of the Mayan calendar, and that being something that was brought into popular consciousness by José Arguelles through his book entitled The Mayan Factor, which was published back in 1987. 25 years ago, that thought seed was planted as having a direct relationship with shifting consciousness. And for all of those episodes and events that have transpired since 1987, the year of the harmonic convergence, we can certainly see many of the things that are spoken of in prophecies all over the world coming to pass. And so we're very blessed to be here as witness and participants in this creative opportunity, the opportunity to truly create love and restore balance within ourselves and for this whole planet. So that is the purpose of our show, Sound Synchronicity, and we're looking forward to welcoming a wonderful guest tonight who is a metaphysical teacher and a shaman, a cosmic shaman. We're going to welcome him, our good brother Stephen Opuyet, to the show. So he'll be coming on shortly. As we like to do with the show as well, we like to open the energy by identifying the signature for the day. Today happens to be Ken 113, Red Solar Skywalker. And the code states, I pulse in order to explore, realizing wakefulness. I feel the output of space with the solar tone of intention. I am guided by the power of universal water. I am a galactic activation portal. Synchronicity, enter me. Indeed, indeed. A significant day, a day of new beginnings. This day also happens to be the galactic signature of none other than Jimi Hendrix. Certainly one who was skywalking, indeed, exploration and that wakefulness. Certainly operating with the intention in his own way, his own creative way of helping to shift consciousness at a very pivotal time in our recent past, the late 60s. So certainly with great respect to his creative influence on the planet, among the many wonderful artists he's influenced since, that has been part of, again, helping us prepare for what would really decisively be a shift out of the old paradigm and into the new paradigm. One where separation gives way to unity and that awareness of that rainbow bridge. In fact, that was the last live recording of Jimi Hendrix, the Rainbow Bridge concert from 1970 in Hawaii on the island of Maui. Now here we find ourselves, you know, nearly 42 years later, with just incredible changes that have taken place. And through it all, here we are in the year 2012. We have this opportunity to really activate our gifts, to really truly look within and see what we're here to bring. How are we here to contribute and serve on the planet at this time? It's very important as well that we look at the resentments that we've contained and be willing to let those go, because those can become very deep hindrances, stumbling blocks to our evolution. So we want to really allow things to flow away from us, release things that no longer serve us, resentments included. Indeed. Today also happens to be the fulfillment of Kwanzaa, Abaragani, Imani, faith, the fulfillment of that 7-day cycle and sacred recognition. The galactic signatures for any Gregorian New Year always show up as the day out of time. That's interesting. The galactic signatures for any Gregorian New Year always show up as the day out of time, July 25th. And it shows up such exactly 5 spins or 3 1/2 years later. Okay, that's an interesting synchronicity shared here in the Star Traveler's 13 Moon Almanac of Synchronicity. So in other words, today, as January 1st, will be the day out of time in exactly 3.5 years from now, or what is exactly 5 spins of the 260-day count, the Zolkin count, upon which the 1320 and 13 moon 28-day calendar is recognized and synchronized with. In this creative spirit, we're just giving thanks for everybody across the planet who was in a space of intention last night. As we understand, today's tone is the solar tone of intention. Yesterday, the tone was a tone of integrity. As we reflect on the year 2011, as we look back to all the significant changes that have occurred in that context, we can see that there have been changes around the issue of integrity. Integrity of the systems being checked, integrity of ourselves really being checked. Now, as we look forward in the cycle to be, this 2012 and beyond, we're looking with that solar tone of intention, meaning, what are my intentions? Am I aware of my purpose? Am I clear on why I'm here? Am I clear on who I'm here with? Am I clear on how I can serve? Am I clear upon that which I can contribute to myself and to my community, to the planet? Those are some of the questions that we're going to be exploring even this evening with our guest, Stephen, as he'll be up here shortly. In the meantime, I'd like to go ahead and play a little bit of Jimi Hendrix, if that's all right with you. I figure in the spirit of the red solar Skywalker, it's appropriate that we share some sound vibration. So here's one of my favorite Jimi Hendrix songs of all time. It's entitled Voodoo Child. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You are listening to Sound Synchronicity with Makua, Nine Kimi Ray.
In Lakesh, all, this is Makua Ray. Wow, just certainly grateful to be here in this medium of internet radio, an opportunity to share with all the listeners out there throughout the planet, peace and love to every single one of you. And just certainly happy to have this awareness of synchronicity to share with people. We certainly give thanks to Valum Votan and to the many teachers who've preceded us, even enabling us to become aware of the teacher within. So it's a sacred time. And to that effect, we give thanks for the brother Jimi Hendrix, our good red solar Skywalker, Ken 113, and one of my all-time faves, Voodoo Child. Now, on the show tonight, we have a brother by the name of Stephen Popuyet, whom I was introduced to via our good brother Bilal Samadhi from Los Angeles, who had been doing some research on the subject of the Tree of Life and came across a YouTube video from a TV show that this brother Stephen was a guest on. And Bilal reached out to me and he said, oh, he would make a great guest for the show. And I watched the video. And I was loving it. I was blown away. I was inspired just by the information that this brother was sharing with the hostess of the show. Really, really powerful stuff, beautiful stuff, very encouraging, in fact. And it's always something to find information that encourages us and uplifts us and helps us to see the possibilities that are before us. And so through sequences of Facebook messages and whatnot, I reached out to the brother and invited him to be on the show. Turns out another friend of ours, Shivani, happened to meet him, in fact, around the same time that Bilal saw the YouTube. She meets him in New York at a meditation that he was actually facilitating. And she says, oh, you got to meet Makua and get in touch with each other. You all are on a similar page doing similar work. And so, again, another wonderful synchronicity that was happening even simultaneously. So it's definitely meant for our brother, Stephen Popuyet, to be on our show on this night of all nights. And so I want to say in Lakesh and welcome, Brother Stephen.
Welcome. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and honor to be able to speak with you and your wonderful audiences at this time.
Absolutely. Yes, my friend. Now tell me really quickly, your signature, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, your signature is Yellow Galactic Human?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, you know that happened to be the signature yesterday. December 31st.
I only discovered that after you had informed me, and I was pleasantly surprised. Yes.
Okay. And then you hand off the baton, energetically speaking, to Jimi Hendrix today, the Red Solar Skywalker, which is interesting because that turns up in my oracle as my like-minded power, my complementary, my perfect like-minded power. There's an energy that comes with us to assist us, and that shows up as a like-minded energy for our destiny. So that's very, very auspicious, I have to say.
Nice.
The fact that we put the dates out there, said, hey, we got a few dates available. What works with you? So this is where it is, brother. So
that's
happy
excellent.
That you're on the show tonight.
Like
absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about you. I know I was introduced to some of your work by way of video on YouTube and was definitely really moved by the information you were sharing around the Tree of Life, the studies with regard to the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. So help us understand a little bit more about you.
Sure, and I was actually very pleasantly surprised to even be informed that that video was actually on YouTube because I had no idea that it was even posted on YouTube. So I definitely thank the great wheel of synchronicity to carry some of the messages out, for sure.
Absolutely.
I've been meditating for quite a number of years and began to research the Kabbalah back in the 90s. Where I was also exposed to a multitude of different esoteric teachers and philosophies that were out there. And I started to do a lot of early Kundalini meditations in my late teen years, which activated a lot of my Kundalini energies very quickly and began to help me awaken to several of my past life memories, which then, of course, took on a life of its own in terms of through synchronicity and through guidance that I had received from my spirit guides and from different angels that began to contact me as I began to do the work and pursue it. Like one thing led to the other, as you so know, with the fractal time magic, of especially with our increased flow here as we go towards the end of next year. That spiral is just increasingly, intensifying its ability to magnetize to us that which we seek to remember and impart to the world. So it's been part of that journey. So I live in New York City, and I teach a lot of different classes on Kabbalah and Egyptian mysticism, which I rotate. But recently it's been more about doing guided channel meditations during new moons, full moons, different astrological alignments, and a lot of one-on-one energy work with clients to help them connect more to their higher self and their own soul lineage. So that's a little bit of background. And I started working on a new Kabbalah book, which I had put aside for a while, and I'm now starting up again to be able to expand some of these teachings.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, much of what you were sharing with me resonated deeply because through some of the research I've done with regard to the Galactic Maya and what they've anticipated or predicted in these times, there's a lot to do with something that does appear as though it were a tree of life, and it's actually referred to as the interdimensional star map, which is kind of an interesting thing, but it has a very interesting sort of corollary formation to the new tree as you were speaking to, and even with the image that you sent me earlier that I could actually check out for myself. Really, really something. So I was immediately intrigued at the idea of there being actually 13 energy centers, if you will, or the Sephiroth, and you can help me with my pronunciation if it's not exact.
No, that's fine. It's also all about the intention, really, as well. I mean,
indeed,
I'm sure there are different pronunciations.
Indeed. So, yeah, I mean, certainly to consider where we've, in some instances, been taught that it's only 10, or then in there being the 11th in some interpretations of the Tree of Life, both in the Hebrew as well as in the Kemetic Tree of Life, because there's teachings relative to that also. But never before had I really seen it depicted as 13 until I saw a video with a brother named Phil Valentine, who is a lecturer and researcher, who shares a lot of really profound information with people. And he was the first person I'd actually heard to indicate that. So I was just very curious since that point to learn more about that, because in what he presented, it appeared as though there was this almost three-dimensional nature where, you know, you're looking at the two-dimensional tree on a piece of paper, if you will, at that particular design. But then there was some kind of activation or something to this effect that actually I could see the way there were three literal cubes stacked on top of each other based in the three-dimensional perspective of looking at the tree. So, you know, it was just very interesting. So then to hear you speaking of there being two more separate in addition to the 11 was just very, okay, I need to know more about this.
And for me, the actual pattern, I first channeled it back in the late 90s, actually, but it kind of was on hold for a while, and I was only keeping it more in closest circles and a lot more like the lecture circuit and things of that nature. And it came to me with that. And also, not only there are two additional Sephiroth, but there are also almost twice the number of pathways in the actual new, in the upgraded Tree of Life. And when I speak about the upgraded Tree of Life, it's not that I'm letting go or trying to say that the traditional Tree of Life is any less superior. It's more like a harmonic. It's more like looking at the primordial basic Tree of Life as a kind of foundation cornerstone for that ancient teachings of those variety of societies that have taught them throughout, you know, the millennium. But that as we enter more of the age of Aquarius and more of the new age energies of the end of our precession of the equinoxes, at the end of the Mayan calendar, there is definitely a necessity to upgrade all spiritual traditions so that we are able to be clearer vessels of that which is to come and that which is replacing the old as a kind of harmonic overtone, as well as a new spectrum of new possibilities that are emerging from us embracing this larger love consciousness and this larger unity consciousness. So that was part of the catalyst where my guides, angels, were showing me that the two new Sephiroth and the new pathways were going to help reinstate a higher degree of symmetry and sacred geometry within the Tree of Life, which itself is a blueprint for part of our own growth and our own ability to connect to the higher archetypal realms and higher angelic and planetary realms in a more refined way that brings it fully into the body, especially by doing more body-centered meditations where the new Tree of Life is overlaid, similar to how the traditional Tree of Life has always been pictured in more of the mystical circles where you do different meditations to activate those points in the body. And this was like the next level of that. So there's a whole variety of new types of techniques and magical possibilities that you can entrain your consciousness to when you when you start to connect with those new realms of the new patterning. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I know for listeners right now, they're probably attempting to imagine what this looks like, and I'm looking at the image that you shared with me, and as I look at it, I see the three cubes, essentially, that interdimensional reality. It's not a two-dimensional object, obviously. It's literally a living vibration that I can literally see as those three cubes. I'm certainly looking forward to learning more from you with regard to the guides who are showing you this, because it's clearly very important, and it's a profound
Absolutely.
Time for new information to be received by humans. I certainly would agree.
And even with the importance of just starting with the more simple basis of having the two new sephirot, which are based physically, if you were to overlay the tree and the body, they're located in the center of the knees, and they correspond in the English translation to freedom and grace, which are obviously two qualities which are important to inculcate in order for us to really bring about this idea of being bearers of the new kingdom or the new reality or the new heart-centered reality. So they help provide a kind of harmonic scaffolding within ourselves to be able to bridge that kind of synapse of consciousness from the old reality into the new reality. And they anchor a lot of energy of the higher idea of these new star children, indigo children, crystal children, whatever term you want to call them, the new evolving souls that are coming in, are in a way having some of these blueprints already activated within them. And so a lot of us are kind of catching up to that idea of, you know, activating that which has been dormant and potential in order to make it into an actuality and where we can really be liberated from some of the confines of the old harmonics. So it's a powerful kind of a completion, more of like the idea of Jacob's ladder, being able to build a bridge between one kingdom or one realm and the next reality. And they're like stepping stones or like transformers in a way too, because the system can be overlaid into many other systems. So it's not just limited to this idea of a Judeo, you know, Christian type of esoteric mysticism, but rather can be cross-applied to really any real archetypal system from any culture should be able to be shown as an overlay to this new tree of life. And even in many ways, the traditional tree of life was also a reservoir or a lens that you could see through and understand different systems of deities or archetypes or pantheons and see how they are all part of the one infinite creator expressing itself through this kind of rainbow tonality and totality of how we're able to see it as a prism of consciousness instead of a prism.
Since we have a choice, we definitely may want to choose the prism over the prism.
Absolutely.
<That's for> sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I love the term you said, harmonic scaffolding, because that's very visceral at the same time, certainly speaking to what we see when we look at that, and just understanding the building nature there and the opportunity we have to certainly build our spiritual lives, working with these forces of the Creator and of nature. This is really profound. And I certainly do recognize this then to be an overlay in many cases for other such archetypal systems, such that even the Maya themselves are noted for, through Jose Arguelles' work, with regard to that interdimensional star map. So seeing that there's definitely some correlation there, and the 13 specifically is being certainly a very important coding in terms of numbers. It's very important to the shift as well. This is really powerful.
Absolutely.
So you also do then meditation groups throughout the New York area. Is that correct?
Yes. I've also done in other states around the country too, but primarily within the tri-state area of New York and New Jersey and Long Island area. But I've done work. I've taken groups at the different sacred sites where we were involved in other types of activations. There were a form of like Stargate activations dealing with Orion, which I took groups back in 1997 to 2000. We were working on helping to ground, as a reflection of the way the pyramids of Giza were lined up to the belt stars of Orion, there are different points in the Earth that are being activated to become more of a symmetrical mirror antenna system, if you would, to receive higher frequencies of love that are being broadcast from the larger macrocosmic realms, to be able to be see truly a reflection of the stars above mirrored below, the way the ancients had done that through lining up different temples and different monuments, to be in rhythm with the changing time cycles, while at the same time keeping a kind of grounded stance of where that energy could be disseminated unto the masses and help the Earth as well evolve into that new level.
Yeah.
So for me, there's a lot of crossover with the work I do in terms of like cosmic shamanism or like galactic magi work, I call it, where it's also like a remembrance of bringing in, creating more conscious conduits within yourself so that you can be more of a grounded channel or transmitter for these higher kind of galactic frequencies, as well as the higher guides that are coming in, higher galactic star tribes or star people, whatever you want to call them, higher visitors that are coming here in increasing numbers, to be able to really hold space for the new paradigm, you know, in a very present way, and access those inner shamanic realms through these advanced type of journeying tools, invocations and things of that nature, are ways to kind of bridge it. Yeah.
Indeed, indeed. So you've been doing that some of these trips you're speaking of since the mid-late 90s. So I'm wondering, over the past decade, because now we've obviously entered this realm, if you will, of 2012. Here we are. So since the last 15 years or so, how have you reflected, you know, in terms of, or maybe you can give some observations on some of the shifts you've directly noticed, obviously working with groups of people?
Yeah, it's definitely been profound and very double-edged in some ways as well. I mean, but I'm definitely happy to see just how many more people are waking up to the idea of this higher paradigm and the higher call, that there is a massive change that is precipitating, and just the whole shift from more of a materialistic center that people are waking up out of and being able to tap into more of their own idea of that there is a soul, that there is a higher presence, that there are, you know, higher scientific teachings, which have been made more public or at least more accessible than they were prior to that time, which are definitely bridging some of these ideas of spirit and matter to energy and consciousness, and to see how some of these more advanced teachings are all reflected within each other, just slightly different jargon and lingo, but it really is about how we're seeing it, either from a, you know, purely right hemisphere perspective of our creative side, or versus a left brain linear side of more scientifically. There is definitely a point I'm seeing where that holism is really anchoring itself, and that also the energies on the planet itself, of course, have been going through tremendous changes. And there were definitely points where there was a lot more negativity coming in, especially in when we were doing our little when the powers that be were doing their actions in the Middle East and began the whole Gulf War aspect of things, there definitely was an influx of more negative energy that was attempting to suppress some of the positive light that has been anchoring. So for me, also, the spiritual warrior path has been a big side aspect of my work in terms of being able to confront some of these systems of duality that I've been exposed to and have experienced in all different gradations. from a magical level as well as a very grounded level. And I've had different run-ins over the years with different people who have been involved in some of the black ops community, some remote viewers, different people in different intelligence agencies. There's been a whole other area of that, seeing how that shadowy underworld and their interest in consciousness and their interest in people that are involved in that field had attracted some attention. Just a longer story there. But the point is that that could be a couple of episodes. But part of the point there was about, as we reclaim more of our own shadow side, and this is really important, that especially for this year that we're going into, is that we really need to each take more personal self-responsibility for any unresolved, you know, shadow energies, any unresolved unconscious blockages, fears, anxieties, belief systems that really are outmoded, and really be open to receive on a monthly basis these new energies that are wishing to come in and are seeking heralds and vessels, so that we can really truly create this new paradigm, you know, in all of our unique ways that we've come in with our own specific missions of service. So it's definitely been kind of a wave, if you would, of greater clarity I sense in different locations, as well as attempts at creating more tumultuous, you know, timelines. And I definitely feel that there's been a lot more of this kind of timeline war, if you would, going on many levels, where certain forces are more desperate to create the matrix or to sustain this matrix of separation and duality, because they know they have limited time. And I've heard this from many different sources, and as well as tapping into it with different groups, you know, that the powers that be also are seeing the end of the Mayan calendar as a kind of a nexus point in which that they are attempting to create their structure, and that the whole gig is up at that point for them to either create this kind of, you know, new world order situation in a more grounded way, or they have to really pretty much, it's going to collapse on itself. You know, so there's dualistic tug of war that I think is going to accelerate, at least in the first half of this coming year, at least from what's going on right now. So it's even more important that we kind of hold space.
Exactly. It's spot on with some of what Jose Arguelles had published prior to his transition. He made some observations at the end of 2010 that spoke of the period we're about to enter now. In fact, as of January 17th, we enter the fifth of seven cycles of 113 days each. And these cycles were noted to begin October 22nd, 2010, and that they would end December 20th, 2012, but that they would be increasing material destabilization. And that just as you said, we can expect in the first quarter of this new 2012 sequence here, from essentially January 17th up until a period in May, 113 days later, that there would be probably the greatest increase of destabilization across the board. So it's quite fascinating, those cycles, because as we've observed since those cycles were first noted, you know, as beginning late October 2010, there's been so much rapidity, acceleration of these types of changes that are really liberating people to their expression, to recognizing their voice, to beginning to see how and why it's important that they move from separation consciousness and begin to, you know, give greater articulation to higher qualities of thought and of living. So we've seen that happen more through the social justice and the political, global political lens. But obviously, I think on a personal level for people in their own individual journey, as you said, whatever unresolved shadow matters we have, as I speak a lot to resentments, that we want to really certainly release and heal those resentments, our perspective of them, and really give thanks, show gratitude for whatever may have shown up as a resentment, but really understand the teacher that it's been, because it's obviously taken us very deep in our own journeys, and then how that resentment's also collectivized on the planet, and that we have to really start to give way to these energies, as you speak of, these galactic energies that want to aid us and that want to be able to connect with us, that we can have room, because there's so many blocks to that energy when we have this tension around things that have remained unresolved or unreconciled. So it's a really phenomenal timing, you know, indicated, it seems to me, very universally across all systems and observations, and particularly folks like yourself that have the capacity through your deep meditation and through your own work and the effort in being at specific energy spaces on Earth, being guided to these places. I know it also affects the quickening and the acceleration that you do. Really, I'll say it as a sacrifice for the whole, that you make that effort. I mean, it's a very important thing, certainly, to be one who is called to anchor this energy and this information on the planet at this time, because you are certainly holding a lot of space for many others as they're also being brought to be able to stand on their own in this transition, you know. So it's certainly a wonderful work. And I know in some cases it probably goes, you know, little recognized, though it really doesn't seek recognition anyway. But I mean, you're certainly an example of one tuning into purpose. And so I certainly appreciate you for that, and that reflection.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
absolutely.
And it's also amazing to be able to see some of the correlations that you're talking about, how they're being mirrored by other teachings from other teachers that have been picking up on it, are studying other systems, and really to see how we're all looking at the same thing from a slightly different angle and how it is synchronizing.
It's a blessing to be able to do that. So what I want to do is actually open the phone lines. I know we have some folks in the chat room. If you have any questions for Brother Stephen, then please go ahead and type them in if you're in the chat room, or if you'd like to call, the number is 424-243-9656. Again, that number is 424-243-9656. I want to encourage you to call in if you have any questions or even your own observations, if you'd like to share a little bit about your observations and how you're feeling into this new sequence that we have obviously all referred to as 2012, because that's the conditioning we have with the Gregorian reference. Though obviously from a Mayan perspective and other perspectives, it is not necessarily really referred to as that. It's referred to obviously as the phasing out of one and the phasing in of a new cycle, and that's what's happening as well. But we'll, for lack of a better term, call it 2012, since everybody's paying attention to that at this moment. Call it 2012 while we actually have it, because 2013 will soon
exactly.
be. And then we'll be calling
I like to make a couple quick points also, just prior to the first caller, just to kind of tie in that cycle a little bit more thoroughly. Part of what we've also been getting a lot is about doing and the importance of doing extra types of meditations where we're focusing on healing different periods in time, not just for your own lineage, as we take our own responsibility and heal our own journeys in this lifetime, but also apply it to a larger collective level. And this is something that I've been working with for quite a while that's become now of an increased necessity, where in the very last winter solstice meditation we just did, that was coming in, that we need to do like monthly meditations once a month in 2012 to be able to focus on what they call time star healing, which I feel might nicely dovetail with a lot of what you're about and what Jose Arguelles has been talking about, but from a little different angle. And that one of my first dreams I had about the end of 2012 came in a dream, and where a guide showed up and told me that at the end of the Mayan calendar, at the end of 2012, there was going to be a singularity opening in the body of time, so that at that point, love was going to flow in from the future, so to speak, or at that nexus point of no time, and reverberate back through all different time periods. Kind of like chelation therapy for the body of time, so that this energy is able to go into all the different timelines that we've experienced collectively, to kind of chelate those veins from all the negative toxicities, so that the heart of Gaia's awakening consciousness could reverberate like a living star, if you would, on the inner planes, and radiate that love energy back, so that she could heal all of her prior epics, so that she could be more fully present in the new space to bring and really birth the new reality post that calendar point. So it's a very interesting kind of angle. Yeah, just as a visual on that. And I've also got a lot of information coming in about 2014, 2015 as being a really important time period to kind of call in as a future reference point to be able to anchor our visualization of when our star nation friends and the higher light civilizations are going to be here more fully present with actual institutions of learning and higher types of centers that will be grounded within our infrastructure. And that really is really important part of how I see the end of my calendar, is as a physical quantum shift with the new energies that are coming in from the sun and from this large gas cloud that we're going into, as being a kind of preparation as well as a welcoming platform to welcome our new star nation's return in a really fully grounded way. Just wanted to say that point.
Wow. No, that's exactly what it is. And as you speak of this period here, what comes to mind for me is what's referred to as the biosphere to noosphere transition. So that idea of coming to that singularity where the opening in the body of time, as you said, allows for that current of love and for the earth of itself to truly go back through all of that which has been accumulated, releasing and healing, bringing to wellness and wholeness those experiences. Because when we speak of the noosphere, it's a terminology relating to the mental sheath of the earth, or the mind of the earth, and that what's been unconscious or dormant for so long is becoming conscious. And that's what's happening for us as we are, to some degree, the children of the earth, as well as the children of greater unbound source as well. But there's something true in that. It's really, really, I love the fact that, again, there are these parallels that you're identifying, because I think this is very helpful for people out there that have been doing a lot of research on their own, and they're finding all these different things, though it's very difficult to perceive these things through a lens of separation. That there is inherently a singularity in there. It's the idea that everything which ascends must converge, that Teilhard de Chardin quote. I love that quote. But it's an important observation for now. You know, even as you and I have been brought into each other's orbit in this amazing way, you know, everything which ascends must converge. So as we've all been in our own processes, growing to this moment, this momentous opportunity of heart opening, this singularity. Wow. What a remarkable time. I mean, come on. This is amazing. What else did we show up here for? We something in us, and I venture to say many of us, and though we may be looking for validation outside of ourselves, it's harder to express it. But for those who have been long not concerned with the validation, they're already generally standing in that place. And they're encouraging even others to say, hey, you already know. You might get the resistance from your family or from society at large, but you already know why you're here. You came here for a purpose. And it would be something this momentous and grand, I would imagine. So, we'll take a pause, a musical pause, for the cause.
Okay.
And celebrate this new threshold we're crossing together with a song by an artist from Japan named Munde Michiru. Great jazz vocalist, great new jazz groove type vocalist. I've always loved her. Loved her music for many years. She has this one particular song, though, called You Are the Universe. And we brought the energy crossing the threshold last night at our Spiraling Up to 2012 event. We brought it in with this song. So I just want to share that vibration with the listening audience. And we'll come back and hopefully take some calls from callers and anybody who wants to check in via the chat room as well. It is open. Thank you for listening to Sound Synchronicity here on Now Time Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Sound Synchronicity. This is Makua Ray, your host and navigator for this online event. We are on air every Gregorian Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so tune into us right here on Now Time Radio. We have on the phone with us this evening Stephen Popiewek, who's coming with some amazing, amazing energy and information regarding this this profound, auspicious time known as 2012. Stephen, how you feeling, brother?
Very good, man.
Good night.
Definitely been a
nice. I appreciate your energy. I appreciate your laugh and your commitment to the vision of higher consciousness. It's a true blessing to again have you on this show. I want to give a shout out to some of our folks tuning in via the chat room. We have Harmonic Tones representing Sister Vanessa in the internet house. We'll say in the house, certainly. And my beloved Coco tuning in from Vancouver. So it's just wonderful. And it looks like we might have a caller on the line, in fact. So let's go ahead and open the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You are live on the air with Stephen Popiewek and Makua Ray on Sound Synchronicity. Welcome. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Phil. Thanks for taking my call. I had a real simple question for Stephen. I was wondering if he could explain to me in a nutshell what he thinks 2012 is all about, and not only what, like what's going to happen, but like why? Why does it need to happen? Like why, you know, what is the, is there a reason for it?
I mean, that's a pretty broad question, but we could talk for a few hours about that. I mean, especially about the why. I mean, I think part of that why has to do with both where we are as a collective society in terms of our resistances to keep holding on to old patterns that we've been recycling through eon after eon in these last few cycles, and our desire to kind of give them up, so to speak, to be able to surrender those lower restrictions so that we can really be fully present and culminate at this essential time with a distillation of all the mastery that we've accomplished of all our lifetimes, and really make a choice as to how we wish to proceed in the next coming eons, if we wish to move more towards unity via the vessel of love, or whether we wish to move towards separation through the negation of that pathway. And I think part of the dance of duality is really reaching its penultimate tone within our society due to a lot of factors that are converging from many different timelines and many different many different venues of expression that have been perpetrated, you know, both in karmic cycles individually as well as karmic cycles collectively. So for me, a lot of the astronomical things that are occurring are of prime importance as a kind of physical validating part of the phenomenon of our change, and that the cycle of the sun is increasing. So there's a lot of solar flares that are going to be reaching their maximum in 2013, which are part of the solar logos, or the divine creator energy that shines through what we call a sun or a star body, and that is providing a massive catalyst for our nervous systems, for our magnetic fields, to be able to really open up our heart center and really purify these pathways. And that there's also a large gas cloud that we're going into that a lot of the Russian astronomers were talking more about, and the Western ones were talking more about them in the 90s, but then it's been kind of quiet on that front. And this is a large interstellar dust cloud that we're physically going into for the next 2,000 years, according to mainstream astronomers. And it's literally part of the material from which stars and planets form. And it's a physical catalyst to kind of shake up the entire solar system to be more receptive to the new energies that are coming in from the center of our galaxy, from the central sun, or from the Mayan tradition, from the Hunapku, or from the crown chakra point in the Tree of Life, which is called Keter. And that is shaking up the entire Tree of Life, the entire system of our blueprint of our reality, to be able to choose love over separation within each area of our life, to be able to see how can we redefine our society, our economic systems, our resources, our relationship concepts with more of a love-centered focus that is not weak and frail, but rather has a strong kind of myelin sheath in it, to be able to ground that new lightning bolt energy of the age of Aquarius in a very practical way as well as an esoteric way. So I think there's going to be just a lot of like dancing going on, so to speak, between harmonic possibilities of choice of whether we want to kind of reaffirm the old cycle or really bring in the new energy, and that depending upon how we do that, the Earth is responding in the same way about in terms of whether or not she's going to create more natural geological incidents to shake up that karmic energy that's been stored in the war zone areas, or whether she can do it more naturally as we take responsibility for more of that and choose love over the war and the negativity. That's the simplest answer I can give right now without going into another hour of conversation.
Wow.
But isn't like solar radiation and galactic radiation supposed to be harmful for your
Sure. Well, basically, I mean, you have to realize so much of our modern science has been really polarized, where they've tried to separate the idea of consciousness and spirit and love energy from the idea of studying sciences. And when you're dealing with radiation as a particular topic, we have a very sensitive area of that's been very distorted due to things that have happened from the distortion of nuclear reactors and generators and explosions that have kind of torn apart the atomic realm and misused those powers of nature. Whereas the natural radiation that's coming in from the sun via X-rays and gamma rays that are also being increasingly present from these synchronization of the gas cloud, of the magnetic field, shifting of our proximity to the central sun in terms of the gravitational alignment, and that the higher nature of gamma rays is actually about transforming our DNA. Gamma rays penetrate the nuclei of all of our atoms. And so if we're looking at it from a natural source, from the higher realms that are coming into how we see physical sources like the sun, if we open our heart centers more and do more active sun work and meditations outside in nature and connect with the heartbeat of the earth, that can be an amazing catalyst where these frequencies of gamma rays are going to help us evolve into a 24-strand DNA and be able to really shed the old limitations of our 2-strand DNA. So it's a lot about shifting your relationship to how you see God's light versus a man-made distortion lens of that similar light. And really saying that, no, this higher penetrating radiation is not here to hurt us, but rather to be a catalyst for our truest awakening by changing us from the inside out, literally, and being an open vessel for that. I would say it's one point to think about.
there's a lot of other things. Quite encouraging. You can't fake the frequency. Caller, thank you so much for tuning in. We do have limited time on the show, but we certainly thank you for tuning in. It's that incredible question.
Thank you so much for taking my questions. Have a good night.
Sure.
Happy 2012.
Likewise. Yeah, man, that's very profound. I mean, what a great question, and just I know that a lot of people are wondering similar things, you know. And I think you've really well said it. We need to get a transcript of tonight's show and go ahead and make sure we publish that for people to share, because I do feel like your experience and your perspective is very refreshing. It's the kind of thing that we want to energize and emphasize moving ahead, because things do come down to choice, and this is the opportunity we have before us. And so there is certainly great shifting happening and certainly wonderful opportunities being presented. I wanted to speak a little bit about your Communion with Angels event on January 8th, on Sunday the 8th, 2012, 4:30 in the afternoon, and this is in New York City. Can you tell us a little
Correct.
Bit about that, so any listeners that might be in the area that could come out and attend
sure.
could certainly be in the number?
Sure, and I'd also like to point that any listener can definitely friend me via Facebook, as I use that as a medium for posting a lot of the events that I do in local areas, as well as any other areas that I will be traveling to. It's an event I'll be doing a combination with a good, really good friend of mine who has a very strong connection to Archangel Michael, which I've also done a lot of work with that energy over the many years. So we're teaming up actually for the first time to do a combination event, and he'll be doing different messages and channelings from different angels for the group audience that'll be involved in that gathering. And I'll be doing a little synopsis of part of the Tree of Life in terms of working with the different angels in a specific type of meditation process for about manifestation and grounding of your intention. So it'll be a kind of double combination event of focusing it from that angle. And it'll be in New York City at the information I could definitely send out to those interested, for sure. And you can even post my number on your wall, whatever, you know. But I would definitely suggest
first friend.
Absolutely.
Yes, well, it's interesting. That day, the energy that day is referred to as yellow electric sun. And it says, I activate in order to enlighten bonding life. I seal the matrix of universal fire with the electric tone of service. I'm guided by the power of the yellow seed of flowering. So it seems rather fortuitous for an event, a communion
nice.
With angels.
And
certainly the YES of the yellow electric sun is always a good thing to have shining on your event. So beautiful, beautiful synchronous happening.
I'm also going to be doing an event for Chinese New Year's, though probably on the second day on January 24th with another good friend named Chris Cirillo, who also does a lot of channeling work and healing work. You know, that's for me, Chinese New Year is also a very important period to really anchor what I really feel like the real beginning of 2012. And for me, every year, Chinese New Year's, due to its lunar emphasis, is also very important to cultivate the incoming frequencies. But I'll be another future side note I can send interested parties information about.
Yeah. Indeed, January 24th. So that sounds like a wonderful way to bring in the new Chinese New Year. What is the energy for the year to come?
Dragon. It's the dragon.
Of course it is.
The year of awakening into the deepest scorpionic kundalini energy of ourselves and the planet.
Wake it up. Love it.
Mars goes retrograde on the actual New Year, and it's on the 23rd. So that's going to really be kind of an interesting point of reference for how we relate to our power, both internally and externally.
Wow, that sounds like it's going to be a serious part of this wave that is cresting. Right? It just continues to go up, up, and up. That day actually happens to be the yellow rhythmic warrior, which has the energy of organizing in order to question, balancing fearlessness. So that's a very good energy to ground in as you start to activate and understand the correlation, as you say, of that Mars in retrograde. Interesting. Sealing the output of intelligence with the rhythmic tone of equality, guided by your own power, doubled. So there's the warrior as the higher self, as well as the core energy for the day. So that certainly brings something to light. And what's interesting is these events you've mentioned, as well as your own signature, shows up with the direction of yellow, which is the south for ripening. So there's a lot of fulfillment energy in what's going on, obviously, with the events that you're facilitating, but then also your own personal destiny shows up as having that thread of fulfillment. So you're certainly here with a clear mission, Brother Stephen. So
thank you for that confirmation. That's a wonderful mirror.
Absolutely. it's definitive. And I want to certainly have you back on a show to come.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last few minutes here, though, I'd like to speak with you briefly. We had mentioned this offline prior to the show tonight, but it was very, very interesting. In fact, really, really a powerful synchronicity. But I was speaking of the fact that today's energy was Jimi Hendrix's signature, the Red Solar Skywalker, and that Jimi's last recorded concert was called the Rainbow Bridge Concert, filmed in 1970 on the island of Maui. And I mentioned that as also being significant to the Rainbow Bridge meditation that is prescribed via the natural time fourth dimensional perspective, as the human ability to essentially telepathically synchronize with others around the world and bringing the aurora of the earth, the light emanation of the earth, together with the human aura and having it actually completely connect at the equator. So this aura coming from the North Pole and the South Pole, or the auroras, and thus the human consciousness merging as one, that I and the earth are one, and sealing the deal, if you will, at the equator. Now, you had mentioned something really, really profound to me when I said that. What, you mind repeating that for me?
Sure. I was pretty amazed that you had even stated that, because that pretty much exactly is what's been coming into me for a long time. When I originally started doing active sun gazing and reestablished contact with higher golden androgynous light beings that basically dwell on the higher dimensions of the sun, and every star really is inhabited on the higher dimension of consciousness, really in a six-dimensional level. That was one of the visualizations they had given me as well. At first, I was doing it more in a kind of Star David pattern made instead of a geometry of points. It was working with different spherical structures where I'd visualize the six-pointed star around my body, but in the form of six different colored spheres, and the seventh for the rainbow in the center of my heart. And then I'd synchronize that visualization with seeing it around the earth and around the sun. And that this was a kind of, this taps into even a higher, but longer story geometry of like geometries of 555 and 666, and being able to take back our power from the misuse of numbers that had been perpetrated by some of the darker societies where they try to create fear around certain power numbers, which is really just ridiculous, because they're trying to create fear around harmonics that they want to utilize for their own purposes of control.
Exactly. So they want you to steer clear away from it because you think it's bad. So in the meantime, they're working it in your ignorance.
Okay. Because the number six in Sri life is ruled by the sun, is governed by the heart chakra. So what better way than to try to negate the opening of the solar energy in our heart center than to try to relegate it only to a negative manifestation? And it deals a lot with the divine masculine. And so they try to polarize the masculine array and you misuse it, which we've all experienced in the collective level for far too long. And so it really is time for the enlightened male energy to begin to reintegrate so that they can really be a truer partner for the divine feminine energy that is also coming at an increasing rate that many people have been talking about. And it's important that we come at from that androgynous perspective and not just feel like it's one coming over the other. And so for me,
like our Lemurian ancestors.
Exactly. And that visualization, they were able to first show me that the energy of the sun was going to definitely be coming in through the kind of higher halos of light that we would see as the aurora rings around the poles, and that they would come together at the end of 2012 and 2013 to be able to create full on solar, that the strength of the sun would be at a certain point where the aurora borealis, as you said, are going to meet at the equator and activate that new rainbow bridge to the next dimension. And that represents a kind of pole shift of consciousness where it doesn't have to be
That's it. I mean, I so affirm. Yes, indeed. I agree. Come on, let's do it. That's what we're here for. So that's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, it's truly, truly been a wonderful time to get a chance to speak with you and learn more about you. I certainly want to, again, encourage people to visit you on your Facebook page. Now, we've cleared up the pronunciation of your name. Popiuek,
yes. So even though it has Popiuek. A T there, so a lot of people
say it looks like Popiotech, so people see it.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's pronounced Popiuek. Okay, that's wonderful. So when people see your name online and they're not confused, I know people get very confused about my name because it's got the silent K at the end, but, you know, when you're seeing it on paper or in two dimensions, it's hard to understand how it's really pronounced. So I just want to be clear about that. And this event is entitled A Communion with Angels at Simple Studios, 134 West 29th Street in New York. That's New York City, on January 8th. 2012, the Yellow Electric Sun, and that's going to be a wonderful event in the afternoon, beginning at 4:30, going for about 2 hours with yourself and your comrade Michael, who does work with Archangel Michael. Wonderful. That sounds like it's going to be profound, brother, and I will do my very best to be sinking in with you all via the Noosphere. I'll be on the West Coast at that time, but certainly always, as we have been and will be, remaining connected heart to heart and giving thanks for your presence on the planet. If people want to check you out on Facebook, they can go to Stephen Popiuek. That's P-O-P-I-O-T-E-K. P-O-P-I-O-T-E-K, pronounced Popiuek. And they can become friends with you on Facebook and follow the wonderful work that you're doing. I would love to have you back on the show in a couple of moons to come just to check in with you. Learn more as it relates to this new tree of life.
Yes.
Because I certainly feel that there's something profound and important for us there. And we can maybe even talk more about the light body or the Merkaba of the human and how that can be activated through a greater relationship with this new tree that's emerging in consciousness. So I'm looking forward to getting into some of that with you in the near future.
Wonderful.
And we shall certainly see you in the Noosphere, my friend. Thank you very much for being on
the Sound Synchronicity.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Peace and love.
Love too, brother.
Thank you. You are tuned in to Sound Synchronicity on Now Time Radio with your host, Makua Nainkimi Ray. That was our guest, Stephen Popiuek, and I certainly encourage you to look the brother up online. If you do a YouTube search, you'll certainly come across some fascinating video with regard to the Tree of Life. Again, his last name is spelled P-O-P-I-O-T-E-K, Stephen Popiuek, cosmic shaman, metaphysical teacher. Brother's doing some phenomenal things, and certainly share the word with other people out there in New York who may happen to be able to attend the event on January 8th. Right now, we're going to shift to a jazz artist who actually is from New York City, brother named Andy Bay and a little song entitled Celestial Blues. Go ahead, meditate.
You are listening to Sound Synchronicity.